I'm going to be talking about World War II coverage by radio, primarily focusing on news coverage and how it evolved and changed, but also talking a little bit about the ways war-related themes were worked into even the entertainment programming. Some of it on a purely voluntary basis by program producers, some of it that got a little bit of a push from the Office of War Information. So we'll be looking at both the news, the entertainment, and kind of the propaganda aspects of how radio operated during World War II. And the reason that's particularly significant is that World War II was the first major war involving the United States that occurred after radio had become a mass medium. So the whole notion of radio covering a war, and also of radio being able to bring the experience of war directly into American homes, was a big deal. It was a huge change, and it had lots of long-lasting repercussions, you know, both on some of the individuals who heard the broadcasting, and certainly on some of the broadcasters who, as a result of their wartime work, became, you know, household favorites and went on to great careers in broadcast journalism.
I guess in that category, the very biggest name was Edward R. Murrow of CBS.
Absolutely. Before the war, Murrow really had not been a journalist at all. He was working in radio, but he was stationed in London, and his primary responsibility was to arrange and produce special programming, interviews with interesting people. But then as England moved into the war several years before the United States, Murrow started covering those wartime activities. He covered the Blitz, the bombing of London, and was on the air live during several major air raids. And as a result of those experiences, you know, he soared to prominence.
At that time, the way the radio broadcasts of news were transmitted from overseas back here, you had to rely on shortwave, which was not always reliable, right?
Well, actually, I mean, what they did more than shortwave, particularly during the early years of the war, is they were relying on the transatlantic cable, and they were trying to feed the signal through the cable systems. And it worked. I mean, it wasn't ideal, but it did work. But there was definitely, as you were saying, no reliable way of transmitting live coverage through the air.
Dr. Michael Turney says it wasn't until the D-Day landings in June of 1944 that American radio journalists had portable equipment that enabled them to broadcast live from the battlefield. Turney's lecture on radio in the Second World War takes place this Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Barringer Crawford Museum in Covington's DeVue Park. I'm Steve Hirschberg.